Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, your mercy upon us in this new day, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the light of the world. And without you, Lord, we are nothing. This morning, Father God, we just humble ourselves, Lord, saying, Father, have your way in us. Thank you, Lord, that we can partner with you, being a vessel unto you, Lord, being your hands and feet, Father, so that your kingdom will come. In Jesus' name, amen. I would rather pray, so then I know my eyes are closed. I don't see anybody. It's very easier to do that. Yeah, the title of my message is, you think it's like very intimidating maybe, but I just want to share some stories out of my own life in the vine. Because you know, it's easy to know the Lord, but it's a bit more difficult to stay into the vine. Because we start off very good and then we go astray and then we do this and then we do that. So I start by telling my story. I was a normal kid, didn't grow up in a home where we served the Lord. So from my father's side, I'm the first one to serve the Lord Jesus. And so I really make a pact with the Lord, saying, Lord, now I will be the intercessor of my family. And you know, to be the intercessor is a bit, sometimes the people believe that you can do everything. But you know, the Lord really showed me by staying connected to the vine, you can do everything because it's not about you. It's all about Him. And then I was in my former church. We didn't know all the stuff. You guys maybe were in the Dutch Reformed before this. And it was just normal church, but it's, in that church, I went to a funeral of a great evangelist that I love so much. I was so I don't know if I was in love with the guy or in love of the works that he did for the Lord. And I wasn't saved, but I loved how he loved this Jesus that he can't see. And one day he died and he said to me, every year, Liesl, you need to come to the Lord. You need to come to the Lord. But I never come to the Lord while he was alive. But the day that it was his funeral, the Lord saved my life. There was, I can say, more than 1,000 people. The people in Franschhoek love this guy just because of who we are. So I went to the funeral and I always laugh. As I know, you know, guys, I don't know if when you came to the Lord, you understand the stuff, but I didn't. I just did it. I don't know why. I don't know what was I thinking. But when the altar call comes, I move forward. My mom was there and said to me, what are you doing? Stay here. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but something just drew me to walk forward. And as I walk, this pastor prayed for me, and since that day, a love for people fall over me like nothing. I can't understand what happened. It feels like the scales come from my eyes, and I see everyone just beautiful. I just start loving you. I love you. I just want to hug you. I don't know what is wrong with me, and I cry all day. The funeral was gone. And I cried, and Anita said to me, sis, what's wrong with you? This guy is dead. Why are you still crying? But I didn't cry for this guy. The Lord touched me. So there my road with the Lord begins, and I'm still in Dutch Reform. And I read the scripture and I think, here's a lot more. What is going on? I want these things that are in the book. And the dominie said to me, no, this is not for you. It's for the deacons. It's for the elders. It's not for you. I want to preach. I want to do the stuff that's happening inside of the Bible. And you know, the scripture that caught my eye was the one in Mark 16. Let me read it for us. In verse 15 it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow you, will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And the other one in John 14 verse 12. This is only the scriptures only the two that really stuck with me. I'm like, these things I want to do. The one in John 14 verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And you know, if you start coming to the Lord, you don't understand all these things. You just read the Bible and you think, okay, I can do greater things. That's the thing. But you know, it's not so easy. You need to yield yourself to the Lord. And that was how my journey started. I start praying for hours without reading the Bible. Worship, pray, worship, pray, worship, pray. That was how my life went off. And then after all this thing, the Lord opened up scripture to me myself, not to go to other people and preach to other people, but to wash me clean, to show me what He really wants from me. So, living that life of just worshiping and praying, it becomes a very intimate relationship between me and the Lord Jesus. I start loving this Lord so much that my husband asked me, what is wrong with you? You sit on the bed and talk to somebody that you don't know. Guys, my husband is not saved yet. So I need to tell you this story so that you can see what the Lord is really capable of. I was in that church, and later I start getting, I don't want to be here anymore, because I see the scripture and the people say I can do nothing. I don't want, and I start getting unhappy in church. But I don't want to be a grasshopper going from church to church. So I pray, Lord, if this is you, Father, please help me. And my husband come home one evening and he said to me, you know what? I don't normally talk to your God because He's holy and I'm not. But I sense that the Lord tell me you need to go to Shofar Church. And I'm like, Lord, how can you speak to a sinner, not to me? How can you speak to this guy? And I was praying, Lord. But you know what? The next day, I take the offer. And I said, okay, I will go to Sofa. When I come into the church, the one thing is worship. I love worship. The people worship. At my former church, the people were sitting like you sit now and they sing a song. And I was the only one standing up. Guys, I want to tell you, if you really love love Jesus. Don't be ashamed of him. No matter where you are. The people kick me out because they say, what's wrong with you? You think you're better than us standing while you worship. But it was not because of me. It's the spirit inside of you that wants to do stuff. And I said, Lord, I want to get baptized. And they're like, you can't do this. And so I got baptized and they really throw me out of the church. Because they say, you need to tell the people you didn't understand what this means. And I said, then I will lie. Because I understand that the Lord was baptized. I want to do everything that he showing me in scripture. So this become my new home. And I was praying and say, Lord, is this my home? So I was wandering around while I was here after my first coming here. I said, I just want to feel, make sure if this is the place. So I went to Lovedale Church and the people invite me to go to their church in, I don't know with what's, Kraaifontein, yes. I went to church there. And as I enter the church, the people speak in new languages. And I said, Lord, this is my scripture, but I don't know this. I don't know a new language like this. I want that. That night, I went forward for prayer. And as the guy prayed for me, I was out. And I was gone. I don't even know what happened. And I stood up and said, Lord, I didn't just come to have this, Lord. There must be more. And as I was moaning with the Lord, a woman come and she started praying for me, telling me exactly what I was thinking that I was not sure of. She was praying for me, guys, I tell you, no lie, the fire of the Lord fall on me and on that place. I was on fire. I was screaming. I said, Lord, what is going on? I don't know this stuff. I'm just a girl from the Dutch Reform. I don't know about the fire of the Lord. I don't know the Holy Spirit. I don't know these things. But after that evening, I come back to this church. And as I enter this church, I just hear the voice, this is home. It's 9 years later. That first day as I entered the church, it was Pastor Tienspo's first day here. And he said, here's somebody in church who want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's me. It's me. And he said, you're so hungry, just come. Let me do it. The sermon didn't start yet. Tani Joanne was with him. And she said, this girl is going to speak in tongues right now because my lips was like, bop, bop, bop. You just come. As they pray for me, the words come. I said, Lord, I just want to be with you. I just want to have everything that's yours. I want it. So my journey starts here. So I love the Lord in such a way that I don't want to be obedient and disobedient unto him. It's so easy to be. He's speaking to you something. You say, oh, no, that's not the Lord. His word is open in front of you, telling you something. You feel, okay, just the scripture. But if the word is speaking to you, it's for you. So I said, Lord, help me to be obedient. Help me to love you in such a way that I feel you all over. I don't want to just read about you. I want to feel you. I want to see you. I want to connect with you all day long. And that was sacrifice. I start praying the Spirit for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. I was just sitting with the Lord. And this one day, while I was sitting, me and my sister, we are looking at the sermon. And my relationship with him was in such a way that the Lord will tell me, oh, so you do your own thing. And Nita just received a new phone and she said to me, won't you check out my phone? And I check out this phone. And I don't know what happened. But the Lord is a jealous God. The guy that are preaching are his vessel. And I don't have any right to not listen to him, but it's on the TV. If you if you can't listen to the guy now, don't switch it on. Because the Lord is in the room and we tend to forget that, but he's there. And I can feel how he's rebuking me and I'm on my knees before him. And I start repenting, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And that day, he's taking me into a vision with him that I will never forget. As I was repenting, I was crying. My tears was laying on the ground. I was crying. And as I was on the ground, I hear him speak to me. He gave me a language to speak back to him. And he's telling me, Liesel, you know what? So many times, the people don't know that I'm in the room just because he can't see me. But I'm spirit and I want you to connect with me in the spirit. I'm here now. And as he take me into this vision, he take my hand and we walk. And it was the most beautiful place I ever see. The grass, I never see such grass, green grass, beautiful flowers. The flowers was breathing. I'm like, what? I was a little child. And I tell you about my husband, I'm not safe. And I said, in this vision, here this man come running. He's just a chokerki like me. And he's faulty. And I said, Lord, why don't you change this guy that he can serve you as well? And the Lord said to me, you know what? You don't know the price that I paid for this man's life. You don't tell me nothing about him. Pray for him. The Lord don't see us the way we see ourselves or the way we see each others. We see sinners like they are just, why can't this guy change? What's wrong with him? But the Lord looked deeper. And he wants us to see deeper. And as we walk, we leave that guy. I said, okay, just leave him. I just want to be with you. Just walk with him. I just walk with him. And he said, it's time to go back again. And as I open my eyes, seeing I'm just in my living room, I start crying. I don't want to be here. Lord, I want to be with you. And my sister that's in that room asked me, what just happened? Because I am, feel the fire all around me. The presence of the Lord was filling the whole room. And that was the day that I decided, this is my friend. The Holy Spirit is my friend and I will take him wherever I go. Whatever I can't do, I will ask him. Because his word says, if we remain in him and he remain in us, whatever we ask, he will give unto us if we remain in his word. His word is what he says. And I said, now it's me in the world. And I want to tell you some testimonies of how the Lord really worked in my life and saved people's life. The first one that he saved, and then I didn't know the Bible, was my sister. I said, Lord, I do everything with this girl. How can you leave her outside now? Who's going to do stuff with me? You know, when my sister gave her life to the Lord, it was the first time that I was quiet for 5 hours. I couldn't speak. I was crying. I was weeping. This morning, guys, I want to bring us back to weep for souls that are not saved yet. This is what we are here for, to love those who are still out there, to bring them into the kingdom. Because the Lord, his heart are blessed if one soul come to salvation. But we are in this time, like, I'm in church, I'm okay, so I don't care about the rest. And I don't want to be in church anymore, guys. I want to be outside. That's why I'm awkward in front of you, because my place is outside. There where the people don't know you, there where it's messy, there where people suffer, there where people cry out for the love of Christ without knowing there's a church to come to, you will find love. So out there, I go and the Lord will with me. So the first big miracle that happened to me was my nephew. He's dying of HIV because he had a girlfriend who had HIV, AIDS. But we didn't know it. And this one evening, I come out of a worship service at Pastor Archie's church. And somebody called my name, but I was so excited after this worship. I didn't hear him. And my sister said to me, "Sis, it's Markle." And as I touch him, I felt the pain that I can't even stand up. The pain that he has in his body. And I said to him, "You need to go home to your mom," because he never stayed with his mom. He's a drug addict, so he's on the streets all the time. Guys, my family are as messy as... I've got a very messy family. If it wasn't that I read in the Bible how Jesus' family was, I was ashamed of my family. Because they are alcoholics, they are drug addicts, they are adulterers. Everything that you can name, they are. And here, I come to the Lord and all these people need to come into the kingdom. But I said, "Lord, if you can do it for me, you can do it for them." So this drug addict is on his last. And I said to him, "Go to your mom." And he's going to his mom. And I forget about him. I pray for them, but I forget about him. And the Thursday, they said to me, "He's not going to make it. I need to come pray for him." But that was the same day that I get baptized. Because I said to Pastor Archie, "I don't know nobody who can baptize me. Will you do it?" He said, "Well, I will gladly do it." So it's nighttime that we went to Berg River and we were in that water. And I was saying, "Lord, I read about your baptism and it was beautiful. The Holy Spirit descended. God the Father was speaking. Everyone was there. I want that. I want the same, Lord. I believe and I trust in you." Lo and behold, the Lord comes. I was with 7 other people and I draw them into the water. And it feels like I was in heaven with the Lord. And my aunt called me, "He's dead." So the guy that I need to go to before I go to baptism, waiting for me, his mom said, "He's dead. He's not alive anymore." And I said to Nita, "Let's get in our clothes. We are soaking wet. We need to run to that house." As we entered that house, he was burning like hell's fire himself. Laying on the ground, they put him on the tiles because of this severe... He was just burning. It was a fever before he... But she said, "There's no breath." I said, "Oh Lord, I know you raised the dead, but I'm not one of them." But I start praying for that guy. We start praying, all of us. It feels like an hour, and I think it was only 15 minutes. And then the guy's eyes open. And as his eyes are open, we could see he was in a very dark space at that moment. Because he was fear. His eyes were full of fear. And I said to them, "Will you please go out? Because I know this guy, I don't know you now. Maybe I should just pray for him." And I prayed for him. And I led him to the Lord that day. His feet were swollen. He can't walk. But that guy stood up and go to the bathroom. And all the people that knows that how he was laying there, they ask me, "Where are this guy?" And I'm like, "He's in the bathroom. How could this guy get up from the floor?" But the Lord wants him to come to Christ before he's died. The guy died that Saturday. But he did his business with the Lord before going. Because he said to his mom, "I never see that this world could look so beautiful. I can see now, mom." That was before he died. The other nephew called out of jail. I can't stay here anymore, Liesl. Please, bless. And I said, Lord, help me. The same day, the one died. The other one gave his life to the Lord in prison. So the Lord heard our cries. The Lord wants us to pray for our people. Abraham prayed for his people in Genesis 18, where he asked the Lord from 50 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10. If we read that story, it already make us tired for praying for this people. But he was interceding for his family. And then he came. Another nephew of mine was alcoholic. He's in the church today. When Peter is not here this morning. He was the guy who was drinking day and night. Every moment of the day he was drinking. And it was terrible because I loved him. I asked him, what is wrong with him? But I can't change him. Only the Lord can. And this day, he became very sick. And it was my anniversary. And we had a family room. So on this family room, we tell about our stuff. And the people said this morning, Peter is sick and he's going to hospital. But I wasn't at my phone. And that night, I was at the phone. And I said, what? Peter is in a hospital. That was 11 at night. I wasn't at my phone that day because it was my anniversary. I feel I will want to enjoy this day. So that night I hear that he's in hospital and I start praying, Lord, he can't die because he don't know you. The next day I said to the people, we need to go to hospital. So we go to hospital. When we come into the hospital, he was numb. He was lame. His hands can't move. He can't speak. He was just crying. Nothing. I don't know what happened to the guy. And so I said, Lord, this guy needs to know you, Father. I pray, please help him just to say something that I can know he can say something. Nothing. Day 3, as I entered the hospital, he asked me, is there still room for me at your Jesus' feet? I said, there's enough room. Come. So I prayed with him. And in the room, 4, 5, 6 people in the room say, I want to come to Christ as well. And the people received the Lord Jesus. But he was still so sick. And then they call us in, tell us, all the family need to come in because he's not going to make it. And I believe as I was praying for him, the Lord told me that he will recover him. And I said, Lord, I stand on your word. You said you will recover him. But the people say, and everyone is crying. And as they cry, I go onto my knees. And I start crying for that guy's life. I said, Lord, please save him. He never knew of the love of a father. He was always just out there. Please save him, Lord. But he just lay there. And as we go home, I said, Lord, I will stay up all night. All night. Please save that guy. And while I was praying, the Lord said, this Friday, I will do a new thing. And I'm like, Lord, this night is not even over. Where is Friday? But okay, I trust you, Lord. The next day, 6 o'clock, I said to the on the room, guys, the guy is not dead yet. Because the hospital didn't call us yet. So we call and they said, no, it's still the same. It's okay. That was the Thursday. The Friday, I said, no, let's go ourselves to look. As we enter the hospital, he's not in the room that he was. Here the guy is at the hospice side, sitting awake, and he said to me, this Kimbi needs to go. I'm like, oh, he's not dead, Lord. That guy, the Lord did something so beautiful because he has no liver. The liver is broken from all the alcohol. But the Lord saved that guy. He can't share that testimony without crying. Even now, and it's 6 years later, he can't stop crying. Knowing that the Lord loves him so much. And he walked with that stick to church. He said to me, I want to come to your church. but I don't have any clothing. I don't have a suit. I'm like, no, we're not the suit people. We come as we are. Just as you are, we come. And he said, okay. And you're Dwimini? I said, no, we have a pastor. You will meet him. As he entered the church, here the pastor stand, just like me, he's got nothing. Hi, how are you? He said, who's this guy? I said, this is the pastor. Oh, he looked just like Jesus. I said, yes. This is how they look. Yo, and Tians love him and embrace him that moment. And after 6 years, he never went back to alcohol. He received a job. He didn't even work anymore because he was 53. But when the Lord recovered, restores him, he received a job at Frans Hoek Salers. He's working there. The people say, where do you find this guy that can work that hard? His face, always a smile. There's a bling on his face. The Lord really saved him. And I said, Lord, there's still some others. His brother is not saved yet. His brother is a drug addict. If my children saw him, he's like, they're like, wow, mommy. Is this guy your nephew? Look at him, man. No, man. You know how drug addicts look, people. They don't look good. I know them. I love them until they look better. But they don't look good. Really. So my nephew, and you know what? You can't leave your phone like this. He will look you in the eye, take it. Oh, my word. It's gone. And I said to him, you know what? You come to my house, I will leave everything like this. You won't steal anything. And he never stole anything at my house because I love him. I said to him, come in. And then they call me sick again. I work with these guys, and you know what? They got sick. Because our lungs are not designed for all the stuff that they put inside of them. So the first thing that run is the lungs. Because of all the smoking and all the stuff. So another one is down. And he's in hospital, and I prayed this night through, Lord, I just need to get him to come to Christ. And he's a hard one. He was not as soft as the alcoholic. He's the hard one. But you know, this is still a life connected to the vine that do all the stuff. Because as I enter this guy's room, he asked me, did the Holy Spirit just enter with you? I'm like, how can somebody who don't even know Jesus know the Holy Spirit? I'm like, who's the Holy Spirit? I don't know. But I sense he's here. That guy got radical saved that night. By just feeling the Holy Spirit. Guys, if we in the prayer closet, that smell, that aroma is following us. Our family is precious unto the Lord. No matter how they look or smell, or they are precious. He wants us to pray for them. So you see the Holy Spirit, and I was shocked. The Lord wasn't shocked. Because he sent me there for this guy. The next day, the guy called me and said, you know what? I read the whole book of Job. This guy is like me. I'm like, how do you? He just read the Bible, and he read the Bible over and over and over again. The Lord gave him 5 years. In 2020, he died. He died. He said, I want to get baptized. I want to speak in tongues. I want to do all that things before I die. And I said to Pastor Richard, this is my other nephew. And he said, oh, Liesl, they are coming. I said, yes, they are coming. A lot of my people were really coming to the Lord because of me. Just labor in prayer for them. Being connected to the Lord. Because this is God's people. Another day the Lord said to me, this is a day I see Tani Teresa, I want to laugh. Me and Tiens, you know, evangelists are sometimes very ignorant people. They want to do stuff that other people say, leave it. But they go. So we went to prison, As we entered the prison, the people said to us, you can't go in today because the wardens had a meeting and they were busy until, they're going to be busy until 11 o'clock. And I said, Tiens, no man, 11 o'clock, no, we can't go, we need to stay here. He said, Liesel, what are we going to do? I said, let's go in and we start praying. And Tani Teresa gave us a hiding. What's wrong with you guys? Why don't you listen to what the people tell you to do? We said, no, Tani, let's go just to the... We go in there, we start praying. We start praying in front of the gates. As we start praying, the Lord sent that prayers through the whole prison. And all the brothers start worshiping. We hear that beautiful fragrance of worship coming out of prison. And they start worshiping, knowing their people are out here, because they know the time. They are waiting for us. They're expecting us, but we're not coming in. As we're praying, we just hear dogs barking half an hour later. And I'm like, wow. And they're like, hi, Sister Liesel, are you waiting for somebody? I said, yes. They say they are sort of staff. We can't go in. No, come, I'm here. Thank you, Lord. We can go in, Lord. The doors open for us and we go in. Pray. Loving people. Loving people, that prisoners are waiting for us. What if we say, okay, we won't get in, it's okay. That day, somebody who are in prison, he said he's got 153 cases against him. He will never go out of prison. And then he gave his life to the Lord. And as we are busy praying there, the people come in and they said the parole board want to see him. And everything was written off against him. Because the Lord see our hearts. The Lord see the guy's hearts. In prison, they were not like us inside. If they give their life to the Lord, they mean business. They want to be with him. They really had a joy. When Pastor Tiens is, wherever he is now, he's always having, every week, every year, I mean, he has outreach in Cape Town. And he'll always call me and say, Liesel, will you please come with us? And I said, I will go. And a year before COVID, that was the last year that we can go out. He said to me again, we have outreaches at all the prisons. Will you take your own prison, please? I want you to go there the Monday. And I'm like, Lord, I know my boys, so it's okay. You know what? The Lord has a sense of humor. He took me to the maximum side that are not my boys. They are new guys that are coming in, and they are like, oh, rough. Ah, they are really rough. So there was worship. There was a beautiful girl. And you know, girls, they are looking, they are like, you know, they don't see girls. They only see men. So if a girl is coming in, you can start preaching. They don't even listen to you because it's like, oh, their jaw dropped. They see a lady. So they see this girl and she was worshiping. And then they put another one on the stand. This guy was in prison. So he's sharing his testimony of what the Lord did in his life. And they were laughing at this guy. They were really rude. They were just going on. Don't. And I'm like, oh. And Nita said this. He said, Lord, and now's my sister's turn. You need to help her, Father. Because they are going to eat her up for breakfast. Because they are carrying on, they are really rude. And now it's my turn. And I said, oh my word, Lord. They don't know this prisoner. They don't know this prisoner. I'm a prisoner myself. I'm in and out of prison for 5 years. They don't know me. Because it's not my group, they don't know me. So I come before them and I was standing looking at them. Without saying a word. And it got quiet. And they said, what's wrong with the auntie? Why is she not speaking? What's wrong with her? And I was just standing. And so as it became quiet, I said to them, you know what? A lot of you are here because of your own disobedience, not listening to your parents. So you will get quiet while I'm speaking. And they got quiet. All the wardens is like, what? You know, the main guy sitting in front, I didn't know who it was. He was the gunya of the prison. So the guys do whatever he says. They do. And you know what? The Lord gave me such a love for this guy. So I went to this guy and I said to him, I love you. Give me a hug. So as I hugged this guy, tears streaming down his face. And the other ones look at, how could this guy, what is wrong now? This guy can't cry. And as I start preaching, I know, as I start preaching the word, telling this guys that the Lord loves you. You're not just here and forgotten. He loves you. Your sins can be forgiven right now. And there this guy comes to the front, give his life to the Lord. And the guys start, oh, if he can do it, I want to do it, but I'm afraid of him. But he's doing it now. And that guy gave his life to the Lord, and he was the main guy in prison in that ward. And everyone got saved that day by that guy coming to front. Pastor Tiens called me and said, Liesel, the guy said, what just happened? Because the maximum people are the most hardest guys. But because of the love of Christ, any heart can melt. Any heart can melt. I come there. I said to them, you know, I'm not a preacher, man. I want to be your mom. Can I be your mom? Can I love you? So I love him until they felt. The one guy was a Muslim. He said, I pray every night to Allah. I said, no, he's dead. He won't listen to you. He will never listen to you. He will never answer you. Come, let we pray with you. And as me and another guy prayed for him, you know what? The Holy Spirit fall on that guy. He's become like a baby. They become like babes. And this guy said, I can't believe this is prison. The guys that he was laughing at, the guy said, so what do you have? Because they laugh at me. I said, I was in the secret place before coming here. This is the Lord's people. This is not our people. We need to love them. Until they understand what it is. And you know what? If we pray for others, we love them. Because what is it to do with me when somebody's in prison to pray for that guy? But the love of Christ that compels us, help make us pray for that people. The Lord can do anything if we pray for that. So that guy's got saved that day. Afterward, I just received the letters. I have a big box full of letters, how the guys writing their notes, telling me the difference that you make in our lives. Not because of me, but because I was listening. But in the other side, guys, I don't want to laugh about these things, but I was very naive when I come to the Lord. I thought everyone is the same. They love me, I love them, we are happy chappies, we go to heaven. I never knew that we can be in church with issues. I didn't know that. I really didn't know that. I was loving you, so I think this is my sister, this is my brother, I can let him in and we will go. I didn't know that there was stuff between Christians that you are jealous of you and you that want this and you. I never did that. I never knew that things. And then something happened to me. I loved somebody coming out of severe rape case and really just love this girl until she can't feel any more love. And then the enemy used this girl to do really bad things to me. And I don't know. Sometimes you feel, is it sin that keeps you away from the Lord? But I can tell you today, disappointment can do that as well. If you are disappointed, you don't know where to go. Because I was running all over France, you guys. Without fear, without nothing. I was running, I do the things. A little girl was raped on one of the farms. And you know, guys, the people was so afraid to go to that home. Because they said, no, that people are very, you can't go to that place. I don't know if you know, at farms sometimes it's like this. There is people that are more well off than others. And if you are not like that, I can't come to that place. So I'm still in that church and the people call me and they said, there was that case. And I'm like, Lord, I need to go to this family. This is not lekker. And a dominee said to me, you know, you don't go to that place. That people are not from our church. And I said, Lord, oh Lord, I will go, Lord. Can I go? He said, yes. So I go to that place. You know, you see how that little girl was in pain, bleeding still. Because they are very poor people. They don't even know where to go to. As we enter that place, there's many farms that don't have any electricity, so there's no electricity. I love worship, guys, so anything that I can worship with, I had with me. So I had that little Coca-Cola can, you know that, where we can put a stick in. That was my music. I'm with that thing. So I placed the Coke there, and the people think, okay, you bring us the scan of Coke. That was not filled with Coke. That was my music. I said, Lord, I want to worship you in this place. Because how am I going to read your word, Father? Because the place was dark. As we start worshiping the Lord, guys, I kid you not, they had a little fire like this. The fire start bringing a whole light into that place. And so I go to the little daughter and I see, I don't know if doctors or nurses, but I never see something like that. That it feels like the child, everything of the child is outside. That day as I cry, my tears fall on this little girl. I didn't even pray, I was crying. But as I opened my eyes, the Lord healed that little girl. And she said to me, there's no pain anymore. The Lord healed her. The Lord healed out of compassion, out of how we cry with those who are in pain and that are hurt. But all this thing stopped when this lady, whom I love so much, did that thing. All this thing stopped. And people said to me, but how can you love the Lord? How can you be in the vine like this and now you stop like that? And the Lord took me to a story in the Bible of Elijah. When Jezebel gave him that message, he was fleeing. And he was the greatest prophet. So I said, Lord, I'm not the greatest. So I'm fleeing. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. But the Lord took me through this. It was so hard. I can't tell you half of it. It was so hard. I was so alone. Because I don't know what is wrong. What happened. It's a long story. It wasn't just one incident. It was a lot of things. I can say thank you to David Anger. He's not here. Tani Adrian's son. But he loved me through it. I was alone. When people take your integrity, it's like you feel there's nothing left of you. And how many of you know that whenever the Lord said, this is the time for you to go now, stuff happened. Because that is the same time that Pastor Tien's come to me and said, you know what, Liesl, we prayed about it, me and the elders, and they said, you ready to preach, you are evangelist of the church. I'm like, no, I can't, not now. When I was on fire, it was okay, but I'm in this hole now, Lord, I can't do it. But I was obedient unto the Lord. I went. What if I said no that time? The Lord, He knows everything. He gave me a word that time telling me, you know what? I know that you did nothing wrong. The people doing this stuff will come back to you. And one day, Tani Rosita was preaching on forgiveness in this church. And the woman is like falling on my knees saying, I'm so sorry. It wasn't true. All these things I said about you, it was lies. I'm so sorry. I can't even live. The Lord did it. But what if I said that time, Lord, I can't go out and preach the gospel because I've got this issue now. Then Pastor Richard came and he said, you need to go to MTP. I said, again, Lord, I don't understand these things, but I will go. The Lord is the only one that can heal you from broken heart like that. The Lord is the only one in loving people, forgiving people in this place of hurt. It's the most precious thing for the Lord. I said, Lord, I never knew that the people that hurt you the most is your ticket for going and growing with the Lord. Thank you for using people that hurt you. Otherwise, I would be naive again and let you just come in now. No matter how much I love you, I have discernment. I just let you come in and do whatever you want. I ask, Lord, is this one? Is that one? So I went through all these things in 2020. I think it was the most difficult year for every one of us. Was the best year of my life. COVID was the best year of my life. Because I got COVID. And I'm like, COVID without the name. I didn't even know it was COVID. But I got COVID. I got so sick, guys. I was without breath. But I feel, no, it's just a cold. I'm okay, so I don't go to the doctor. Week number two, I feel I can't breathe. And then I want to call the doctor. As I call the doctor, the people said, no doctor is available until Friday. I'm like, Lord, on Friday I will be gone. I can't wait this long. So I was in my bed in that night. At 3, I can't breathe and I crawl to my living room. My kids was like, oh, just please keep this woman away from us because we don't want to be like this. They don't know me as somebody going to lie in bed because that's not me. I'm an all-rounder. That night, around about 3, I crawled to my living room and I was laying on the ground. I said, Lord, please help me. You need to save me because I'm very sick. I can feel it. My mouth, I can't taste anything. I am sick, Lord. And the Lord didn't touch me like this. My phone that's always with me just opened with the worship song of Kim Walker, Protector. Oh my word, as I hear the song is so filled with truth. The truth start coming over me as I lie on the ground. As I lie, and I was raising myself up from the ground. And I feel how life is coming back to me. As I walk, slowly, but slowly, slowly, and I said, I'm healed, Lord, thank you. I'm healed in Jesus' name, I'm healed. As I walk, I went to sleep. And I hear the still, small voice. I want you to get sick because I missed you. It's 3 in the morning. And that was my time with the Lord every day since I come to Christ. I sit with the Lord from 3 in the morning until 6 or 5 or whatever He wants me there. And because of growing cold, I was never in that secret place with Him again. And 3 o'clock, as I seek His face to help me to recover, He said to me, it's me that cancel all the doctors, because I'm your doctor. I was longing for you. Guys, the Lord wants us at that place that we first met. He wants us there. He longs for us. Sometimes the men will think, oh, this woman, they are but two. But let me tell you, it's the most beautiful place to be. Being with Him, smelling His aroma, going into the chambers with Him. This is what He wants from us. And since then, I'm up. I said to my small group, guys, daar sit tyd om 'n vallag te word hê. Because then the guys look at Netflix and everything because there's no church. Oh, and the Lord wake me up with the fire. I'm like, oh my word, I want to preach. I want to have Zoom meetings 2 times a week. I want to preach. Guys, let's go into the Bible. Let's read one chapter every day. And Nita told me, if the Lord didn't wake you up that time, what could have become from us? Because it wasn't that we had no church. It's sometimes we use this church thing. We leave this church thing until Sunday. So it's COVID now. Nobody's in church. So now this is a lekker thing now. But the Lord meet me, guys. And I'm back in the game. And I love Jesus more because He hear my cry. I come from a home with a drug addict father. And my father wasn't always the best father. He was really, when he was in one of this ways of him, then he hit my mom. We need to run around. It was hectic. And because of that, I have compassion on those who use drugs. Because they want to just escape something. And in 2020, I start praying. I said, Lord, I'm back in this game again of praying to You day and night, day and night. And as I start praying, the Lord saved the soul of my father. And I thank God, because this year, my father died. What if I was still in that lukewarm state of not praying? So this morning, I urge all of us to come back to that secret place. Maybe not everyone is like me, but it was just an encouragement this morning to know what the Lord can do when you connect it into the vine, and what you can do, what He can do if you're not connected. Things are going messy. There was a lot of things that was out of line in my home while I was moping, having doubts, sitting with unbelief. A lot of stuff happened. Was I awake? And I could see it come. I could see these things coming. But the Lord saved me again. God, Jesus is our intercessor. Because He said to Simon, 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 Satan wants to sift you. I was praying for you. So I said, thank you, Lord, that You were praying for me when Satan was ready to sift me. If we live a life into the vine, it won't go easy with You. I never understand that. I think, Lord, why is my life so hard? What's wrong with me? Then an old old man in the faith, he comes to me, he said, Liesel, wanneer dit nie sleg met jou gaan nie, dien jy nie die Here reg nie. Because the enemy is jealous of you when you do the things of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because in that is the power of Christ. I thank Jesus that I could share testimonies and encounters today. So that if people don't believe that he that has spirit can be with you like this, they can believe it now. Because I'm nobody. But the Lord can use me because I love him. Because he loved me. Because he didn't look to my skin color, look to I'm too small to use. I love Jesus because of that. If it was anyone who said, yeah, I don't think you would choose me to preach. But because of him. He's the one. We all laugh at Samuel because he went and he see the eldest brother and said, this is the one. It wasn't the one. The one that was not even, they didn't even check him. And he was the one coming here with all of his filthiness. This is the king. If you sit here this morning and think you're nothing, I will encourage you. The Lord can use anyone. No matter how small, no matter how nothing you think you are, no matter if your father is an alcoholic or drug addict, he can use you to change your family. I can't tell you everything, but all the nieces that come to the Lord, the nephews that comes to the Lord, through me praying for them. There's still a few out there, but the pit bull is back again to bring them in. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you send us in the world, Lord. Each and every one of us here, Lord Jesus, is responsible for the lost. Help us to understand it, Lord. Help us to know that it's not about us. It's about you, my God. Father, this morning, my cry is, Lord, to give us a heart for the lost, Lord. To break our hearts, Father God, for the things that are breaking your heart, Lord. Father, unless the Spirit is not quickening us, Lord, we can't do the things. Help us to draw near to you. Help us to come to that place of knowing that apart from the vine, we can't do anything. We need Jesus. Help us to pray. Lord, bring us back to prayer meetings. Bring us back to pray, Lord. Bring us back, Father God, to the things that please you, Lord. A life of prayer. I thank you this morning, Lord God, that this is your children, Lord. You know what they lack, Lord Jesus. This morning I pray, Father God, that you will touch your people, Lord. They can go home, Father God, saying it was just another sermon, Lord God. Or they can go home and say, Father, help me pray for my unsafe family. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, for your guidance, for your amazing grace, Father. We worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.